Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The 2016 presidential election is still 15 months away, but already candidates in both parties are crisscrossing the country and coming to North Carolina, that promises to be a closely contested state again. Here to talk about how the race is shaping up and what voters think of Governor Pat McCrory and the General Assembly is Tom Jensen with Public Policy Polling. Well, Tom, it's good to see you. Thanks for being back with us on News and Views.
Good to be with you, Chris.
A lot to talk about in the political opinion world. A lot of people always want to know about the presidential race, so let's just start at the top. What's happening in North Carolina and across the country?
Well, North Carolina, the presidential race is really shaping up to be a toss-up once again. We do a poll every month, and every month we find Hillary Clinton and the various Republicans within about 2 or 3 points of each other. So North Carolina was the second closest state in the country in both 2008 and 2012, and it looks like, at least at this early stage, like that competitiveness is going to continue. The really interesting thing that's happening in the national picture right now is Donald Trump immediately vaulting near the top of the polls in the Republican primary. We'd pretty consistently been finding that either Jeb Bush or Scott Walker or Mark Rubio were leading the various polls we did across the country. Now, all of a sudden, Donald Trump's right in that mix with them. So now, for better or worse, we have sort of four Republicans polling at the top.
I was trying to think back to in 2012 when we had Herman Cain and we had other people. I guess Ben Carson is running this year. There are always people. I don't know if he'll ever move to the top, but it does seem the Republican primary, there's this several episodes of we have these, what I think a lot of political people would say are not serious candidates do well. Is that a function of it so early?
It's because it's so early, and it's because there's 16 candidates on the Republican field. So it's easy for somebody like Donald Trump, who comes from a non-political background, to sort of stand out amongst that field of all these governors and senators and that sort of thing. But what's interesting with the polls this year is they have real-world implications in a way that they haven't in the past, because what the TV networks have decided is they're only going to include the top 10 candidates in the Republican polls in the debates out of the 16 who are running. Right now, Donald Trump and Ben Carson would be in the debates. John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, wouldn't. Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, wouldn't. Rick Santorum, who finished second in the 2012 Republican race, wouldn't. So these national poll standings of some of these sort of more offbeat candidates are going to make it really hard for these people who, at least based on their resume, are serious candidates to get any traction because they're not even going to be in the debates.
Do you have a sense of where North Carolina is in the Republican primary for president?
We have been a lot more friendly to Jeb Bush than most places, and that's something that we're seeing throughout the South. North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Jeb Bush has been near the top of the Republican pack. He's having some problems nationally, particularly with conservative voters who are a little suspicious of him, but he's having less of a problem with that here and in other southern states.
The next race down, which is maybe the most interesting conversation currently, North Carolina Senator Richard Burr is up for re-election, and the Democrats still haven't settled on a candidate, and we don't even know anybody who's running.
What we found that's really interesting is Richard Burr continues to be pretty undefined to voters in the state. About a third of voters approve of him, about a third disapprove, about a third don't have an opinion one way or the other. But when you test him against hypothetical Democratic candidates, he's up by 10 to 15 points. And our last two polls before Kay Hagan decided she wasn't going to run, she was trailing by 9 and 11 points. It used to be sort of the conventional wisdom that, you know, if voters were evenly split on you, that made you really vulnerable for re-election. I think we're so down on politicians across the board now that if voters are 50-50 on you, you're probably going to be okay. It's almost like you have to be really unpopular to be in a lot of trouble for re-election, which is not to say that the Democrats can't beat Richard Burr. It's just going to really come down to the political climate. It's going to have to be, I think, a pretty strong Democratic year, maybe on par with 2006 or 2008 in order for Democrats to win. But the nature of North Carolina is that it's always going to be close. I mean, Richard Burr's not going to get reelected by 20 points, pretty much, no matter who runs.
It must be difficult as a pollster. You're trying to figure out the U.S. Senate race. You obviously are testing candidates to see how they would do against Richard Burr, but the vast majority of them probably aren't well known. What kind of challenges does that present to you if you're obviously a state legislator from a small area who's thinking about running is not going to poll very well?
Yeah, I think the thing you just have to think about is that Kate Hagan was in this exact same situation 8 years ago. She started out with very low name recognition and down by 17 points in the polls to Elizabeth Dole, and then she turned out to be a strong candidate. They had some good stuff to use against Dole, and it was a great year for Democrats, and all those things sort of came together to let Hagan come back from being all the way down to win that race. So I think that somebody just has to make a leap of faith that maybe those perfect storm conditions that got Kay Hagan elected as somebody with very little name recognition in 2008 might be able to do the same thing for someone in 2016.
How's Governor McCrory doing?
We're now 24 months in a row where Governor McCrory's had a negative approval rating. On average, about 40% of voters approve of him, about 45% disapprove. We very consistently found him with about a 2 or 3 point lead over Roy Cooper in their likely matchup. Our most recent poll actually had Cooper ahead by 3 points. That was right after McCrory had vetoed the magistrates' bill and the ag gag bill. And what we were sort of seeing in that poll was that conservatives were a little mad at McCrory, and that's probably not going to hold. So I still think of McCrory as a slight favorite, but certainly I think that is our marquee race at the state level next year. That's just going to be real close.
I know the General Assembly is not very popular.
Nope, they're as unpopular as ever. About 20% of voters approve of them, 55% disapprove. But what they have going for them is that when you ask people, would you vote for a Democrat or a Republican for the legislature today, it's evenly split. And given the way that our districts are gerrymandered, that means Republicans don't have a whole lot to worry about in terms of their control. One interesting thing where McCrory and the legislature are sort of bunched together, we asked people, who do you think is calling the shots in state government? And voters overwhelmingly think that the legislature is in charge and that McCrory isn't. And I think that sense that McCrory is a weak leader is part of why we've persistently seen him in so much trouble on his approval numbers. Voters hate the legislature, and they think the legislature is running roughshod over the governor.
Is that unusual, do you think? I mean, I know you don't have a lot of historical data to go on. Is it unusual that people would sense the General Assembly is more powerful than the governor?
I think that is sort of a new development, because when you had a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature, as we did for most of our history, they usually weren't fighting with each other quite like this. I mean, McCrory's had to veto stuff in a way that certainly, you know, Mike Easley was not having to veto stuff all the time with a Democratic legislature. So I think this is a sort of new phenomenon where the governor, I think, appears kind of impotent to a lot of voters.
Is President Obama still the divisive figure in public opinion that he was? So how was he doing in North Carolina?
He's still unpopular, but he's not that unpopular. We tend to find about 43-44% of voters approve of him, 50-51% disapprove. That's really about average for where he's been over the course of his time as president in the state. There have been times where he got down to the 39-40% range approval in North Carolina, and that sort of creates a tough climate for Democrats to succeed in. But right now, both in North Carolina and nationally, he's doing maybe even a little better than he's done over most of his time in office.
Finally, before I let you go, can you get a sense of what's on people's minds? People in North Carolina, what are they worried about? What are they thinking about as we start to really seriously think about 2016?
It's still the economy and education above all else. And I think that one thing that's really interesting is Republicans have sort of tried to create a sense that they've done something about education, that they've done something about teacher salaries. Voters aren't really buying that. The other thing is, obviously, by many measures, the economy really has gotten better over the last few years, but most people still aren't really feeling that in their everyday lives. So it doesn't really matter what the unemployment rate is or what the economists say or anything like that until people start really feeling that. And I think that particularly has to do with wage growth and people who are employed getting better terms over time. Politicians are still going to have to deal with the perception that things could be a lot better.
Well, Tom, as always, thanks for the interesting update. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
Up next, what's at stake in the battle for more state funding for the courts? Stay tuned.